Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I refrain from introducing Brian O'Dwyer as a guest on this program. He automatically becomes a co-host, which is all right because we're both from Mayo. Brian, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. It's a great night tonight to be here with Father Richard and Joe, yourself, in a celebration of what I think is going to be a real opportunity for Mayo in the future.
Brian, perhaps you will introduce our guests, our very distinguished guests.
We do. We're very lucky to have them over here in New York. And as you know, Adrian and I was asked to be on the board of Ireland West Airport, NOC.
And somehow became the international chairman of NOC. Okay.
I did. It was the Peter Principle at work.
We'll be asking you again in terms of, go ahead.
But I've been very, very so honored to be on that board because we've had so many wonderful male men and women who have served on that board without compensation to bring back to Mayo a vibrant airport which will serve the west of Ireland. The two people who I've worked with, among the many others, Joe Gilmore is our executive director who runs the airport on the day-to-day basis and is a really talented person in terms of making the airport hum and thrive. Father Richard Gibbons is the parish priest at the NOC Shrine and has once again taken the NOC Shrine, to be fair, which was frankly an embarrassment to us over the many years, and made it a quality experience for people from all over the world to come over. So we are frankly blessed to have both of them in terms of their participation here. I'd like to introduce Joe and have him talk a little bit about the major success of NOC Airport in the last couple of years.
Managing Director of Ireland West Airport, for those who are not from Mayo, we have somehow not gotten the hang of referring to it as Ireland West Airport, but Joe, first of all, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Delighted to be here in New York.
And to say that it is a success of great magnitude is really not an exaggeration.
No, I don't think so. It's grown from very humble beginnings, and just want to acknowledge Brian's very kind words. The airport, as those of your listeners will probably know, started from the visionary Monsignor James Horne back in the late 70s after the papal visit to NOC in 1979, and his vision to build an airport when most people thought he was probably crazy and, you know, would have been taken away in a white coat nowadays, but he drove on and he got some great people with him to make the airport a reality in with the first flights in 1985-86, and we're 30 years old this year. And we'll be handling over 700,000 passengers, growing to over 1 million shortly. And we're delighted to have Brian join the board last year. I'm not sure, quite sure he knew what he was letting himself in for, but I hope he's enjoying it, and he's been a great addition to us. In particular, trying to open up and redevelop the connectivity here to the U.S. And that's what we're about here at the moment.
You know, I just, first of all, my memory doesn't serve me past 25 years, but I know I was on the inaugural flight, and I would say, Brian, you wouldn't pass up an opportunity like that. But to have an airport in, first of all, to have it in Mayo, was beyond the wildest dream. To have it at NOC in County Mayo, that's where the miracles started to kick in, because if nobody better than, you know, Monsignor Horn to get that done. It was absolutely amazing then, and you know, the begrudgers at the time said, "Here is the, you know, the foggy, boggy airport, the white elephant of the West." All of the predictions, almost from day one, turned out to be just, again, fodder for the begrudgers, but for everybody else, a very pleasant, not only a pleasant surprise, but the what that has done for the West of Ireland is immeasurable.
I think so, and just to, I guess, put some numbers around it without getting into too much detail. Like the airport, we employ close to 200 people, and with all of the on-site service suppliers, the airlines and so forth, there's over 250 people employed there. It's putting about 100 million back into the economy each year through visitor and tourism revenue coming back through, and downstream revenues from suppliers we deal with and so forth. So we're actually a major employer now in the region, and particularly in East Mayo, which historically has been very hard hit from an economic perspective. And yes, I agree with you. I think I'm privileged to be the flag bearer just at the moment in terms of the executive role trying to take the airport forward. But it's without all of the hard work and endeavour from people over the last 30 years on both sides of the Atlantic that has made this a reality. And I can only read about the first flights that came in back from the US 25 years ago, and that yes. You've mentioned, and we're hoping that with this new charter service that's that Father Richard will talk about in some more detail, that this can be the start again of developing scheduled services on a seasonal basis going forward from New York to Knock, and that we can really open up the northwest of Ireland and Mayo in particular to the American market from both a business sure. and a tourism point of view.
I know, Brian, that you'll agree with me that we should acknowledge the tremendous contribution of former Mayor Mike Bloomberg, who in fact not only visited Knock twice, it wasn't commercial airlines, he flew his own plane into Knock, but he cleared for once and for all a stumbling block in Washington with respect to direct flights into Ireland West, into Knock, and that again, that's for forever and a day. Not a small contribution at all.
No, a very large contribution, in fact, because the bureaucracy was keeping direct flights from going because they weren't getting the clearance in the United States. And in fact, building on that, when President Obama was in Northern Ireland a couple of years ago for the G8, right. all of the ancillary flights went into Knock. So that we built on that. We now no longer have those issues, thanks to Mayor Mike, who really yes. cleared it, and frankly, thanks to you, Adrian, who pushed that in terms of having the mayor come into Knock as opposed to any of the other airports in Ireland.
Getting nervous if you compliment me on anything. I just want to go back to Joe before we bring on the heavy guns here.
But Adrian, it took a lot, but I did it.
I know. Knox lumps out of you, I know. Joe, can you give us a description, a kind of a visual of Knock Airport today, Ireland West Airport?
Yeah, Adrian, where the airport's at the moment is we have over 20 scheduled destinations, right at all of the major centres across the UK. So your three London airports, Stansted, Gatwick, Luton, services to Bristol, Birmingham, East Midlands, Manchester, Liverpool, and then Scottish destinations like Glasgow and Edinburgh. So we cover all of the major population centres in the UK. We have a network of seasonal services across Europe, outbound primarily to Spain, Portugal, Canary Islands, and then a range of services into places like Milan, Cologne, and so forth. So we've been able to develop, thankfully, mainly as part of the low-cost airline revolution in the last 10 years, with airlines like Ryanair and Aer Lingus, as fares have come down, it has opened up the west of Ireland to, I suppose, connectivity that they, you know, 30 years ago, I think even the Monsignor himself couldn't have visualized, because those times it was £400 or £500 to travel to the UK, and back then, and then the first £100 fare was introduced from Dublin to Luton, I think, by Ryanair. Now you're travelling, if people pay more than $30-$40 to get return fare to London, they're complaining. But
they're complaining about the taxes.
They're complaining about the taxes. You know, so it's really revolutionised connectivity. Our market is very much, we've got a business commute market, a worker commute market, especially in the last 5 or 6 years. We have 5 or 6, say, London services of a Friday alone on Sundays, of people commuting back and over for work during the week. And like the benefit that is for the local economy, for people can get home, you know, albeit when the employment hasn't been there, it's really opened up the whole west of Ireland. And then on the tourism side, it's been a great benefit.
Brian, for us in particular in the east coast of the United States, it has been really an unnecessary burden. You know, for people who are in the west, and, you know, we don't have to stop at Mayo. We can go up through Sligo and Donegal and the Midlands and wherever to have the choice of Shannon. First of all, I know that we have spent decades fighting the corner for Shannon and the numerous battles that there had been when Dublin felt that that was an unnecessary stop. But still, to have, again, direct flights from here, and I know that is not the issue of today, but definitely when we look and when we see the mountainous number of air routes, new air routes that are opening from Washington to Shannon, and from, you know, places that we didn't even imagine up until now. We can't be that far away from, indeed, at least presenting a viable plan to the very airlines that have gotten Ireland's attention anyway.
Absolutely, Adrian, and Joe has been done a wonderful job in terms of promoting that. And there really are two issues there. And I think that's been my remit from the board as international chair, is how do we promote service from the East Coast, particularly New York or Boston, to Knock? And there are two areas, two issues. One is direct service, nonstop flights. And that we're working on, and that probably is going to be more difficult. The other sense is a change. If we can get low-cost carriers to either go into Iceland or into Luton or to Gatwick and then fly into, on a smaller plane, fly into Knock, that would provide a real service to the people of the west of Ireland. So I'm looking in both areas, and Joe and I have been working together on it. I think this is not far away. This is not far away at all. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when I can get on a plane in JFK, take my family, not spend less than the airfares, go over to either Iceland or Gatwick or wherever, change a plane and go into Knock, so that I would be there at the exact same time that I would have been had I gone into Dublin or Shannon, and at the same time save myself a few hundred dollars. And I think that's the idea, and I think that's coming. We have a lot of work to do, but that's the future of Knock Airport.
Joe, I just want to also point out that many listeners to this program have had the experience, particularly in the off-season, of having to fly directly to Dublin and then fly to Shannon and then go wherever they were heading for. So in with Brian trying to save a couple of hundred dollars here, I would be lean more towards again the time factor and the convenience of it, because it exists already. It's not like everybody gets to go to Shannon just because that's easy access. It still is not as easy as one might think between Dublin and obviously Belfast and whatever.
Yeah, I think and that's a good point. I suppose and particularly the last 5 or 6 years have been very difficult economically with the crash and all that in Ireland to convince airlines and existing carriers to take the risk on a new airport, and they have grown traffic into Shannon and Dublin from the US, and the US market is very strong for Ireland at the moment, and with the dollar and so forth, and so I think we're hopefully reaching a point where we can convince now more than likely the existing carriers that know the market, yes, that by putting additional access into Knock initially for a summer season,
yes,
to prove it on maybe 2 or 3 rotations a week to start with, that it can reap dividends and not cannibalize their existing business into Ireland. And that's always the concern for airlines, that it would cannibalize. Now, we've produced market research that shows that last year alone there was over 30,000 trips taken from our catchment in the west of Ireland to New York alone. So and that's business that's available for an airline to come in there, and we'd certainly be hopeful. I won't say confident at this stage, because it's always a commercial risk for airlines, and we're not competing with a Shannon or Dublin. We're competing with Glasgow, Birmingham, Edinburgh, Bristol, who have no direct services yet. So we're all, you look at United, they recently announced services to Newcastle starting next summer. Bristol Airport, for example, doesn't have a direct service to New York.
Right.
So we're competing with airports across Europe, not alone in Ireland, for available capacity with these carriers.
But I think the two-stage is a great place to start, as Brian had mentioned there, particularly with low-cost airlines who have a down pat as to how to keep prices very modest in local.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working very closely with the low cost carriers. We're also monitoring very closely Ryanair's developments, and when they decide to go transatlantic, we've a very strong relationship with them. And so there's two. You have to keep, I suppose, every iron in the fire and hope that hopefully one of them bears a dividend.
I want to welcome the parish priest of Knock. He is he's a Monsignor and better in our terms, in the sense that while the airport and while focus may have shifted somewhat to the success of the airport, what has been a success long before Father Richard Givens or any of us on this panel were even thought of, Knock became and was a tremendous place of pilgrimage. And I don't think, Father Richard, first of all, I want to welcome you.
Thank you very much.
But I don't think any of us assumed that Knock and the Basilica and the tremendous history of Knock, Knock Shrine, Knock Basilica would one day actually, in addition to the great work at Knock, would be such a tremendous boost to a section of Ireland that always seemed to roll in last in terms of of the economy. The Thai is absolutely, again, it's terrific, and it's fantastic.
We're delighted with the developments in terms of, especially in terms of the charter flight from New York City. But I suppose it's built on the genesis of pilgrimage and of seeing an opportunity for people to reconnect again with their spiritual roots at home. And so it's a little bit more than tourism. It's a kind of a deeper connection than that. And we're delighted. I'm thrilled to be working with Joe Gilmore on this, and with Brian, of course, and with the board of Knock Airport in terms of making this a reality for our people here in the United States.
Now, Father Richard, when is the tour going, and how do people get their tickets?
Sure. The tour is leaving it's from the 8th to the 17th of August. So do buy your ticket. It's from the 8th to the 17th of August. It's a 178-seater flight. Almost half the seats are gone at this stage. And it covers, as the Cardinal said today, I was on a radio show with him today, and he said it's a mixture of fun and spirituality, which is a very good way of putting it, because you have to have everything. It's not just all prayer. It has to be a little bit camaraderie and fun and all of that. So it takes in the west of Ireland.
I don't think the listeners know who's going to be heading up this pilgrimage.
Who's going to be heading up the pilgrimage? The pilgrimage is the first official diocesan pilgrimage from New York City, led by Cardinal Dolan. Okay, so Cardinal Dolan himself is leading this pilgrimage into Knock, and he will be spending time with the pilgrims, obviously in Knock, and then throughout the west of Ireland, down south in Kerry, and then returning to open our national novena on the 14th of August. So that's a huge occasion for us. Over the course of the 9 days in Knock, we have 150,000 people going through the shrine, just for those 9 days alone. Annually, we've 1.6 million people running through or coming through the shrine in terms of visitors and pilgrimage. So he's both the Cardinal and also the people that will be coming on this flight will see Knock in its best, on its best leg, if you like. And so we're really looking forward to it.
The significance and the history of the 15th of August being the designated the feast day. It is the biggest occasion for Knock and Knock Shrine.
Sure.
People plan, not only plan on that, but if we go back when we were growing up in Ireland, we had not only met and seen people who came from throughout Ireland, but many of them had walked and cycled and very, very strong religious commitment from people who, again, set their calendar by the 15th of August.
Yeah, the 15th of August is very big, the assumption. And so we still have people walking to Knock from the surrounding areas. Actually, it's a great tradition. We kick off the day at 5 o'clock in the morning with confessions. And people, believe it or not, do go to confessions at 5 o'clock in the morning. I suppose walking along the road makes them think about a lot of things. And the parish priest of Knock always has the first mass at 6 a.m. in the parish church. That's packed. I've been saying that for the last 3 years as a parish priest. And it is full. Full of high-vis jackets, Adrian.
Right.
From all over the surrounding areas. So they will see the Cardinal and the pilgrims coming on board will see that as well. So they'll be there to experience all of that.
Can you bring us back to day one in 1879?
I'm too young.
Brian wasn't there either. He was busy that time. But, tell us how Knock came into being.
Sure. Well, very, very simply and very quickly, an apparition occurred on the 21st of August, 1879, where some local people saw unusual lights and sights at the gable end of what was then a parish church in the middle of nowhere.
word quickly went around, and as people approached the gable wall, they saw a manifestation of Our Lady, St. Joseph, St. John the Evangelist, the altar, the Lamb, and the cross. It was a highly intricate and very theologically dense apparition for anybody just to have made it up. In fact, as I often tell people, if you want to make it up, and if you want to make up, you just keep it to Our Lady. You don't start adding in everything else around.
Yes.
So it was viewed by local people who came, open to everyone, so to speak, which was unusual for an apparition, because if you take Lourdes or Fatima, it's to certain people, like three children in Fatima and to Bernadette in Lourdes, and secrets are, and messages are communicated. That wasn't the case in Knock. It was a silent apparition. It lasted 2 hours, and from there on in, the shrine grew and grew and grew.
For decades, as a matter of fact, for one could say for a century, there were many attempts to discredit the whole notion. And in fact, Rome did not rush in and say, as a matter of fact, they became one of the chief investigators of this, to the point that it was, they covered themselves, and they covered themselves well.
Yeah, well, that's logical. That would be normal. Nobody ever rushes in to acknowledge these things immediately. So that would be par for the course and the due process in terms of investigating something like this, because you don't accept immediately that somebody comes to you and say that they've seen a heavenly manifestation and say,
right,
well done, that's great, let's go with that. So we keep it, there's a process to all of that. So two investigations took place, one immediately after the apparition in October of 1879, and a second one in 1936, which deliberately set out to re-interview the remaining witnesses to see if their stories corroborated with 1879, and they did. It has taken a certain amount of time, and then over the years, various acknowledgements were accorded, ultimately with the visit of the Pope in 1979 on the 100th anniversary, which
Father,
was the cafe.
Father Richard, let's be frank. At some point in time, Knock was an embarrassment to many people, with the honky tonk and the
stalls, yeah,
and all of that. I remember as a young child going there and being absolutely appalled by the commercialization and all of that. And I know that you've been really responsible for the revitalization of Knock as a truly religious and spiritual site. Could you talk about that?
Sure. Well, I suppose what you're talking about there, Brian, I suppose goes back to, again, the late James Horan, who wanted to really revitalize outside of the shrine, the village itself, as well as interiorly. So in anticipation of the Pope's visit in 1979, most of the stalls along the main street were gotten rid of, and an arrangement was made that they would be moved off the main thoroughfare. Again, now, as we have a Witness to Hope program project which seeks the revitalization of Knock Shrine, and this is where this trip from New York comes into play, in terms of there are three aspects of it: the promotion of the shrine, renewal programs for pilgrims and for the church in the country, which badly needs it, and thirdly, we had the refurbishment of the basilica itself. So we took what James built in 1976, which was simply a church shelter, and we have now refurbished it. As one RTE correspondent said to me even last week, it is now world class, and I'm partisan, I know, but I agree. but we need to have that kind of level of sophistication, that level of kind of outward looking, in terms of attracting not only our own people but a very sophisticated pilgrim people that no longer accept just whatever we throw at them. So this is, and that's going back to the point again, Brian, that we need to look at the village as a whole now in terms of how we revitalize the village. And that's very much part and parcel of what I would see Knock developing into the future. And so we try to do that by developing business, by connections with government and with local authorities such as Mayor, County Council, and all of that. And we'll be moving ahead on that front as well.
Explain, if you will, a basilica and how the designation of a basilica at Knock. Where did that? How is that initiated?
Sure. A church is only ever dedicated a basilica by the gift of His Holiness himself, by the Pope himself. So he chooses to raise a church to the status of a basilica, which is an honorary and a privilege, really, to the church itself, acknowledging that it has a special connection with other basilicas right throughout the world. Mostly it is given to basilicas in terms of Marian shrines, or
right.
We have another basilica on the island of Ireland, which is in Lough Derg. So there are two basilicas in Ireland, one at Knock and one at Lough Derg. So it's an honour title given by the Pope in 1979 when he raised the Church of Our Lady to basilica status. And so as such, we felt it hadn't been refurbished since 1976. We felt it needed it. It did. It was tired, old, jaded, old. You know yourself when you're refurbishing anything, old wiring, etc., etc., etc. And so we've 80% of it complete, brand new seating, everything, and we will finish off with artistic elements next spring. And we will have a national rededication in during the season of 2016, which is its 40th anniversary.
Yeah. What was the basilica when it opened in Knock? Was that considered to be the structure itself minimal, mediocre? It was not. It was not considered.
Yeah, it really
wasn't considered.
No, I'll tell you exactly. That'll answer that question specifically. When we were doing up the refurbishment, we took down the old original plans. On the plans were simply church shelter. That's it. Church shelter. That it was simply built. A mass concrete structure to get all the people in out of the inclement weather. As you know, weather can be very temperamental in the west. It was simply to get them in, out of that, and under cover. So it was built to accommodate 10,000 people. It still accommodates 10,000 people. So it was to take all of that and to renew that.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Father Richard would deprecate the weather in the west of Ireland.
Oh, he was talking about the old days.
It rained at the time of the apparition.
And has rained ever since?
Sporadically now, Brian, sporadically. I'm trying to sell tickets here.
I do want to tell you, Father Richard, that first of all, it would appear to me that with the cardinal led pilgrimage to Knock, we're not just talking about the 178-seater, we're talking about something really much more significant that, in terms of, again, drawing attention to Knock. I hope there is another plane in the hangar somewhere there when... because it would appear to me that that could be done, that there could be many more than that. But this is something that is very important, and I think the timing is terrific, because we're talking about what is going to be the lead-up to the rededication of what is now something to be extraordinarily proud of. This is not... just bricks and mortar.
No, it's not small. This is not small at all. And we're hugely excited about this. Both Joe and I are very excited about this in terms of the historicity of the landing of this flight. But it's also, you're quite right, going something deeper, that we can have a connection then with our own people here in New York, and that we can develop that. And why shouldn't we? We have a diaspora that France doesn't even have in connection with Lourdes. And we have a national spiritual home for people. And something very, very unique, something very, very Irish, and something very, very very Catholic as well in terms of our own faith. And renewal is the key to all of this, Adrian. Renewal of not, renewal of people's lives, connectivity with God, and just showing that, you know, we can, echoing Pope Francis, we can have joy in the proclamation of the gospel. That's it.
Can I just add that those of us who were involved, as you have been for God knows how many years, in immigration reform and immigration, this also is a very significant thing. Because everything that shows a connection between the community in New York and the community in Ireland sends forth the message that the immigration back and forth is more than a positive thing. And when we're looking at immigration reform, and frankly, when we're looking at the undocumented, many of whom come from the west of Ireland, as we well know, because of the economic conditions, that this has a significance far beyond just the Knock Airport, and frankly, far beyond just the religious aspect of it, which is significant. But the fact that we are showing the groups together, the togetherness
right.
of both sides of this Atlantic, and the old immigrants and the new immigrants and the work that they've done is really significant. That's why this flight is really very significant, Adrian. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And also, I want to correct ourselves, because it's one thing when we talk about New York, because actually when we say New York, we're really talking about the East Coast here.
That's exactly.
That incorporates, you know, all of the you know, from Jersey, Connecticut, you know, again to down to Pennsylvania and to places, as I say, it's New York metropolitan and the line. So let's not. This we're not talking about just New York. We are talking about a huge encatchment area where there have been generations of regular visits to Ireland and a new generation, indeed many of whom are, you know, entrapped in your reference there to immigration reform. This can only be enhanced by the involvement of the Cardinal. This is not something that started, by the way, last week. I think many of us were in awe when the Cardinal stepped aside on St. Patrick's Day to let this young fella from Knock, the parish priest of Knock, actually, address an audience on the significance of Knock. Obviously, that was not a once-off. It was a great honor and a great privilege, but he didn't, again, this lesson, he didn't get a notion a month ago to have a flight into Knock. This is something that he's very committed to.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he is the voice. He's the voice of the Catholic Church. You know, I don't know how far west we would have to go, Brian, in the United States, but he's the man.
Yeah, I would use the word providence in all of this. It was providential. I suppose when he asked me to preach for St. Patrick, I couldn't believe it. It was an extraordinary honor. My jaw, if you'd like to put it metaphorically, hit the ground when I heard it, and it was wonderful. And it certainly gave a wonderful opportunity for me to speak about Knock, and that germinated the seed in terms of, well, wouldn't it be a great idea to build on this connection that we now have. And so that's where this ultimately it led then to this flight.
Richard, you were in a terrible embarrassment. I can tell you that.
I saw you, Brian, holding up a placard to applause, please.
let us again just address the renewal. Obviously, I'm not sure that this is peculiar to the United States, but the church church in Ireland has taken a pretty a fair belting, as we may say up in my corner of the county of Mayo, has really, really suffered greatly in terms of the scandals and, you know, within the church, within the clergy and whatever. Again, perhaps more focus on Ireland, because Ireland, you know, was and considered to be the island of saints and scholars. Having said that, the renewal is part of what is actually well underway right now. I think most people would, you know that after a huge decline in interest, you know, in the Catholic Church in Ireland, it's creeping back.
Well, there's no doubt that it certainly has been through the wars, so to speak, but a lot of that has been self-inflicted by the church, by our own church, that we've caused that ourselves. And so it is only right that there was a reaction, if you like, to that,
right.
Even from within the church itself. Like, we weren't sitting on the sidelines for this in terms of how we dealt with this, you know. But at the moment, the key to what we're trying to do in Knock, because so many people still come to Knock, is renewal. It's simply to give them that sense of a tranquil, peaceful place where they can encounter God again without any prejudgment, without any
right.
anybody waving a finger, or without anybody saying, well, when was it since your last confession, and why was it so long? And I think Knock has that key, because we don't do that.
Right.
We have taken figures, in fact, for example, in terms of the number of people that go to confession, and about 18 months ago it came out at about 4,000 people per week on average.
That's
go to confessions in Knock, which is tremendous. And this is from people that have been away for so long, 10, 15, 20 years.
Brian, as most people know, is my dear cousin. Could you slot him in for maybe 4:45?
I just see a halo around his head. I don't know what you're talking about.
The problem, Adrian, is you would take the entire amount of time for your confession.
That's why I want you in.
No, but I must say, if there was 2 minutes for someone, 42 hours would not even be enough.
Okay, all right, okay. I want to go back. First of all, I know that without this program, Cardinal Dolan and the Archdiocese of New York is not going to, rely on on media to spread the message. However, starting with the premise, again, the Cavan fellow that says you better take this today because it could be gone tomorrow, there is a, August is coming. It's coming rapidly. Mm. And the Cardinal is not sending people to Ireland. He is going to Ireland. He's going to Knock. He's going himself.
He's going himself. He is, yeah, and leading. So, as I say, half the flight is nearly there. And we'd encourage people listening in to simply contact Peter's Way and Peter Bahu, who's organizing this on this side of the Atlantic in New York. Contact Peter's Way, get on the website, get your ticket before they all go, and join this historic pilgrimage.
Now, the website is
petersway.com.
petersway.com.
Yeah,
okay.
It's simple. Yeah.
petersway.com.
I don't know whether this is something that is a positive or negative, but I'll be there. So we're all going. I'll be on that flight and with the Cardinal, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I have my ticket, and I have a feeling that plane is going to be filled up by the time this program is over. So
I would
but you can
so.
Go through, Shannon. It's all right with me.
Are you going to take my seat? Is that what
yes,
it is?
Yes, actually, that's.
I'm not going to allow that at all.
I do want to first of all, Father Gibbons, you have always been a terrific guest, and there's been a lot of interest in our many conversations before, indeed, when the Basilica and the the rebuilding. I know you say it's a refurbishment, but this new basilica, before that was even looked like it might be a reality. We'd be delighted, of course, to be there a few months before the rededication. I do want to come back to Joe Gilmore, who is the managing director of Knock Airport, Ireland West Airport. Joe, we do know, obviously, that a great number of people who go to Ireland West to Knock Airport are, in fact, going to, obviously, to Knock Shrine. But there are also a huge number of people who are coming in and who are utilizing your airport for the betterment of the economy. I know you mentioned a figure earlier about 200 employees, maybe 250 employees. If you were to count the number, not necessarily the number, but the influence of Ireland West Airport for the entire region, again, way beyond Mayo. We're talking about an encatchment area of roughly what area?
Well, yeah, Adrian, we're talking about a catchment that covers a quarter of the landmass of the country, first of all, and it's about 1 million people. From various independent studies that have been done looking at the economic contribution, the airport contributes over 110 million a year to the region. That's in terms of jobs and employment and spend from visitors coming through. It supports an additional 1,000 jobs beyond those at the airport in other businesses that supply the airport, and as a result of visitors coming through in tourism and hotels and bed and breakfast restaurants and so forth. So it is a major contributor. Again, we're of the view we could be doing, you know, twice that hopefully over the next 10 years. And, you know, we compare ourselves to airports like Shannon and Cork that are, you know, doing passenger numbers twice what we're doing and more at the moment. And, you know, we believe we should be leveraged to grow and develop and, you know, do more, hopefully, of what we've been able to do in the last 10 years.
Terrific. And I know that Knock and Knock Airport began with Monsignor Horn. I think it would only be right and proper, Brian, to acknowledge somebody who we've known and respected for so many years in the person of Joe Kennedy and his you know, commitment to not only obviously to the airport but to the shrine, and somebody who actually, you know, did and spent so many years, again, making sure that what we're all talking about here became a reality.
I can't tell you, Adrian, we could spend another 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 20 hours talking about Joe Kennedy and what he's done for the west of Ireland. Knock Airport and his chairmanship has been extraordinarily successful and dedicated in bringing a wonderful board together. But that's only a fraction of what he's done for the west of Ireland. I don't know if you know this, but the Ireland Chamber of Commerce has designated Joe as their recipient on October the 9th as the Albert Schweitzer awardee for his humanitarian work in the world.
Yeah.
No one more deserving of that award.
I might add to that, you took your time. You should have done that years ago. But anyway, I want to end on a positive note. Joe, again, wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
And if you can somehow find a spot on a flight for Brian to, if not directly, to Knock, but that would be very helpful. And, of course, Father Richard, Monsignor Bossman, always a pleasure to have you as a guest in our program.
Thank you very much indeed, Adrian. And for all your support. Thank you.
And Joe, if Adrian takes my seat, I'll be very upset.
We'll find a jump seat for you, Brian Zimmer.
Actually, that's part of my plan. I, you know, seat, yeah, having Brian O'Dwyer upset, how am I going to manage that whatsoever? Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Thanks to, of course, to Brian O'Dwyer, the international chairman of Ireland West Knock Airport, and of course Joe Gilmore, the managing director of Ireland West Airport, and of course our regular, we could say, visitor to our program from Knock Shrine in County Mayo, Father Richard Gibbons. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA.